Show, Phil Hendry.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and truth is our bitch. Phil Hendry here, along with Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, Margaret Gray, and a host of guests and quasi-guests and real strange, just some strange stuff going on around here. We're online at philhendryshow.com. That's the worldwide, international, intergalactic headquarters of our radio show. And with a backstage pass, that is what we call a subscription, you have access to more radio material, more good quality, fantastic, classic radio material than you will ever get anywhere else, okay? There's a reason why some radio websites are free, folks. Let me just give it to you straight. And there's a reason why we have a subscription to our site, and that is because we have first-generation, high-quality, and an extensive library of our show. So join us over there at philhendryshow.com. Listen for our podcast. We had a podcast drop today. That's what they call it, dropping, you know.
I think it sounds negative. If you say our podcast dropped, it sounds like it's dropping.
Yeah, it sounds like it's dropping in the ratings and nobody wants it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's what they say. So episode 129 dropped. It is, I think it was Don Berman talking about, oh, I know what it was. It was bowling alleys. It was that report that Don Berman did where they, and he, this, I'm quoting him, they ripped the lid off of the bowling shoes controversy.
What?
Yeah.
Well, what, this better not be what I think it is. He is so vulgar and he's such, he's so bad at what he does.
Well, Margaret, he claims to have won Emmys. And
well, there's the key word, claims.
Well, he claims to have won Emmys, and they're a very popular news department there. They work very hard. But apparently, they did a report on why it is bowling alleys prominently place the size, the shoe size, on the back of bowling shoes. Now, you would think it would be because they want the people who come in to use the bowling alley to know which shoe they want.
Well, no, it's because it's they... That's what they said. They think it's because they people want to know what size their foot is, or they know what size their foot is. They want to find the shoe.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Well, not really.
Yes, I did. That's exactly what I just said. So the reason why you see that big number 10 or number 11 or number 12 is so that you can see, aha, there's my shoe. That's my size.
But they're getting it from the guy behind the counter who is generally... late teens, early 20s, and may have or may be just getting over a drug problem, and that's where he works. He chain smokes Marlboros. What?
What are you doing? Can I finish?
I'm sorry.
So in any event, you go up to the counter, you ask for your bowling shoe, and the guy says, what size? And according to Don, their news team saw a lot of guys lounging in a very suggestive way, leaning on the counter with one elbow, acting like they're all lists, and what size? I'm a 13. And they're saying it just loud enough so that any woman standing by would hear it, and, you know...
Yeah, he is absolutely vile. He's vulgar.
Hear it in what?
Well, I mean, that's what people think, or... there's no proof, but that people think that a man's shoe size is reflective of his.
Yeah, as I said, he's vulgar and he's vile.
How big is Frank's shoe?
15. Now.
15.
Yeah, Frank is Frank.
Now I know why they call him Frank.
Yeah, Frank.
What? Oh.
Give it five.
Get out of with the gimme five. All right. So that's the podcast today, 129. Also, the Bobby Dooley podcast. And coming up next is Joel McHale. We have Patty Arquette. That dropped. That's number one of the Bobby Dooley podcast. And then a two-parter with Joel McHale and then Sugar Ray Leonard. And on and on it goes into the record books, the great Bobby Dooley podcast. All right, in other sports news, I know I was talking about something else. I forget.
You
don't worry about it, okay? Okay, so what do we got here? David Hall. David, how you doing?
Hey, Phil, I'm sorry to butt in, but you were talking about something that I found very interesting, and I wanted you to, are you going to finish it? And I know we're on the air, and I know that I shouldn't do this, but are you going to finish what you were saying?
What was I talking about?
I don't know. I don't remember, but it was interesting.
Yeah, it was, Mr. Henry.
Okay, I don't remember what I was talking about.
You don't remember what you were talking. It was fascinating.
Yeah, it was really fascinating.
I don't remember.
What is it with you? You do this more often than I care to remember.
David.
No, hold on for a minute. You start a topic, you go into a commercial break, you come out, you don't continue the topic, you're on to something else. Half of the time, it doesn't bother me because I don't care what it is you're talking about. But this particular time, I wanted to hear what it was you were going to say, and I'm waiting, and you come out of the commercial break, and now you're on to some other baloney. And I, you know...
Other baloney? I'm promoting the show.
All right, you're promoting the show. You're talking about some, excuse me, but you're talking about a dead body in a water, somebody who's got a drink of water with a dead body in it. All right, I'm sorry. You know, stuff happens. Meanwhile, I'm waiting for you to really...
Oh, I know what it was. It was the guy, the English tourist.
No, it was that it?
Yeah.
Well, that's boring.
Yeah, I thought that's what it was. And why did it seem exciting?
I don't know. It just seemed exciting. And now that he says it...
Yeah, maybe now that I'm going to tell the story, now you want to bum me out about it and tell me how lousy it was.
No, it just sounded really good, but now you...
That was it. You're right, Phil. I don't care. Turn right here, baby. All I'm saying, Phil, is that I'd like you to finish the story.
Well, I'm about to finish the story. I'm going to finish the story about the English tourist.
The English tourist. Turn right here, baby. Hold on, Phil. Turn right here. Yeah, come on. The English... Was that a movie?
No, that was The English Patient.
The English Patient, right. Turn here. The condo's here. Where are you going? I'm out with a young lady.
All right. Thanks a lot, David, for checking in and, once again, not making any sense.
Come on, Phil. You got a bus bite.
All right. So what I was saying was that I'm on this train, and here's this guy. Very nice guy. He's British, and he says... Yes, I'm from England, and...
Did he say it like that? Did he say, yes, I'm from England?
No. I don't know how he said it like that.
Well, that makes him sound like he's got his nose up his butt and everything like that. Sorry.
So the guy says, I'm from England, I'm a tourist. Now, I said to the guy, he says, can tell me the interesting places in L.A.? I go, well, and I start mentioning the usual places, whether it was Hollywood or, I don't know, some of the studios. He says, no. He says, I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in the industrial sections. Now, it just so happens that I love that kind of stuff.
Well, you're saying that because you met a man who said he was into it, and now you want to say you were into it. Are you really?
Yes, I really am. I've ever since I was a kid, I've been fascinated with alleys, rail yards. I don't know why.
Wow, what about when you were a kid?
Yeah, what's that about?
What do you mean, what's that about?
Well, it's a little weird. You were, how old were you?
I was, ever since I was a little kid, probably 6 or 7.
You wanted to hang out in alleys?
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
I don't know, Mr. Ants.
Well, as a woman, I find myself recoiling and buttoning my blouse up a little higher. I just, even though you're only 7, as a woman, I'm putting my hand over my chest. What do you mean, alleys?
Margaret, I didn't want to hang out in alleys in order to attack women. I was 7 years old.
That's got nothing to do with it. That has nothing to do with it at all. I told you about Jason J. Delmonico peeking through the crack in the door while I'm bathing.
All right, I don't want to get into your... Oedipal complex problems there at the house.
I'm not saying that, but when you said you like to hang out in alleys and rail yards as a 7-year-old, I instinctively covered my breasts.
Yeah, that's instinctively for a woman to cover her breasts.
Oh, is that right? If a 7-year-old boy talks about rail yards and alleys, then a grown woman instinctively covers her breasts. Is that...
Yeah, pretty much, Mr. Ryan, because you got to understand. You know,
yeah, please explain it to me.
If a kid at 7 is comfortable in an alley, like you said you want to go to an alley?
I didn't say that. When I was a little kid, I used to draw pictures of urban landscapes. I loved alleys. I loved buildings.
See, do you see where my hand is?
Yeah, you're covering your breasts, and you're doing it on purpose.
I am not.
Miss Henry, what I'm saying, if you are a 7-year-old kid, and you go, man, I want to go down to an alley. Oh, God, how I wish I could be in an alley. And a woman... She hear that, she's going to think...
Yeah, she's going to think you're looking to tap it.
No doubt about it. Now...
Can you guys get real for 4 seconds? She's going to think I want to tap it.
I love it.
Well, I'm glad you find that funny.
That's the funniest thing I've heard all month. 7 years old, I want to hang out in an alley, so she's going to be afraid I want to tap it?
Yeah, well, go ahead and laugh. Go ahead and laugh, but they find it. You're little, if you were seven, and you're all over it like white on rice.
Yeah.
All right, you know what? Let's take a break. We'll be back.
You always go to a break right when we've got you nailed.
You're not even close to nailing me. You're not even within the same country. That's how far away from nailing me you are. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Doodle bullfighters. What do you want me to tell you?
You kidding me? Any guy that doodle a bullfighter, he's deserved to get his face slapped on principle alone.
Well, I'm just saying, Mr. Henry, you don't...
What are you talking about, bud? Welcome back, folks. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking about when we were in school as kids, because I was saying, I don't know why, but when I was a little kid, urban things, pictures of buildings, pictures of alleys, and the city life, especially seedy city life, held endless fascination for me. I loved it. You know, I wanted to go places where there were alleys. See, I grew up out west. In California, we don't have alleys. At least in L.A., we don't have alleys like they have great alleys in London, you know, and in New York. I mean, where alleys actually have names. You know, this is Peterson's Alley, you know. San Francisco's got alleys. But and so I don't know why, but I was fascinated by that. And I would draw these buildings and... I would draw alleys and garbage cans, and it's whack, you know. So I'm talking to Bud and these guys.
Well, you're all set now on bullfighting. That's a whole other deal.
Yes, I agree with Bud.
Well, of course you agree with Bud. When do you not agree with Bud?
About 90% of the time. Get you. God, a little touchy, aren't you?
Yeah, Mr. Lamb, she's always agreeing with you.
All right, but the point is, I knew a kid in school... And this kid, we were all in the fifth grade. This kid, he liked to doodle bullfighters. He drew pictures of bullfighters.
Was there any, did you notice, or was there then, now, or whatever, any homoerotic, anything that's homoerotic?
Okay, bud, quit coming off like you're a psychologist, okay?
I'm just saying, okay?
And if I hear that phrase, just saying, one more time, you know I'm on the warpath about that.
Yeah, what's that about?
What's that about? I'm getting tired of hearing just saying. I'm just getting sick of it.
Well, people are saying it. You want to try and change the way that people are. In the meantime, you got a guy doodling a bullfighter, and you don't even want to get into the deeper meaning of it.
What deeper meaning? The kid was doodling bullfighters, and the story is the nun, my teacher, Sister Ann, walked over there to him, and she said, now, what did I tell you about this? She stood him up, and she slapped him in the face. Now... you know, it's a private school, and people do send their kids to private schools to get that little extra added bit of discipline and so on and so forth. So it's not about the fact that she slapped him. It's about the time and the place that she slapped him. She slapped him right in front of the class, and the kid started to cry, and I don't blame him. He was humiliated by this nun.
Well, where was she supposed to slap him? Somewhere private? You know what, Eric, after school... Let's sneak away somewhere so I can slap you across your face.
Yeah, see?
Come here, bud.
What? Ow! Yow!
Okay. Good?
No.
Okay. There, I just slapped you.
I'm not crying.
I can slap you hard enough to make you cry. Would you like that?
No.
So, I thought it was overkill. I thought that she shouldn't have slapped the kid. And he's just, you know, Charles Schulz. You know, Dan was just telling me that Charles Schulz, the guy that drew Peanuts, he got the hell beat out of him by some nun. Every time he doodled in the margins, every time that he was using, any time that he wasn't paying attention and drawing like the little Charlie Brown characters, this is Charles Schulz. The guy went on to become one of the most famous cartoonists in the world. The nun had come over and just with a knotted rope and...
Oh, man, you're kidding.
Yes, I'm kidding, but...
And she did what? She beat him, right?
Yeah.
And had she done it more effectively, we would have been spared Peanuts. So I don't get what's wrong with that.
Oh, well, you know, I didn't know.
Well, Phil, I think I speak for a lot of... I mean, Peanuts was cute the first, oh, I don't know, 50 years. God.
So you're saying, in other words, the nun or whatever, was it a nun?
I don't think it was a nun. Whoever it was that was in charge of the discipline of the class, that Charles Schulz, the late cartoonist, a good man, who overstayed his welcome by about roughly, 30 years.
Well, if he overstayed his welcome, why was he still selling books? Why did they have that whole... Charlie Brown, you're a jackass, whatever that was.
Yeah, Charlie Brown, you're...
It was the Charlie Brown series.
Right.
What did you want to ask me?
Well, why was it still popular? I mean, people loved it. People loved that. They loved that song. What was it, Robert?
I don't know, man. It's a jazz song.
Right. And so for you to say that the nun should have beat Charles Schulz harder so we would have been spared Peanuts, boy, you wanted Charles Schulz to work for Peanuts. That's what you wanted, see, for him to go out and just create a small, minor, cartoon character.
No, I'm saying that if the nun or whoever it was, if the teacher, if the headmaster or headmistress, okay... If the headmistress had knotted a rope and then soaked it in water, and then and only then...
All right, what are we doing now? Are we coming up with great torture techniques?
No, this is Miss Gray. She talked about how to be spared a peanut.
Yeah, we don't need that.
What?
He did the shorthand.
I did shorthand. Miss Gray talked about a peanut be spared.
Will you knock it off with the shorthand? We're talking about being spared peanuts? Okay, you don't like peanuts? Fine. Maybe I didn't like peanuts. I don't think a child is deserving of being beaten with a knotted, soaked, wet rope because he's doodling Charlie Brown's head.
You know something, Phil? I believe in predestination, and I believe that good teachers have an instinct. Here's a teacher in the school district that Charles Schulz was going to. The teacher sees Charles Schulz doodling the head of Charlie Brown. To the teacher and to the generations that see that, it doesn't mean anything. It's the head of what looks like a neurotic child. Now, the teacher sees it, though, as something worse. The teacher sees there the profile of some sort of totalitarian animated nightmare, something that will take... And so the teacher does what any good teacher would do. She takes a rope, a good, healthy strand of hemp, knots it in six places... Soaks it in water.
All right, okay. I get the point, okay?
Well, so you understand what I'm saying?
No, what I hear you saying is some sadistic, twisted, mentally diseased child abuse fantasy. That's what I hear.
How dare you?
That's what you're doing, though, Ms. Gray, saying on a rope gonna get knotted up.
Yeah, exactly. Knotting up a rope. 877-876, Phil. Let's go on to, we got a couple of phone calls here, some people wanting to talk here. Is that the, you got the same line open there, bud. You're going to have to close that. That's the line of the factory there. Okay. Karen Doville. Karen, how are you doing?
Oh, Phil, I am enjoying the program. We're on our way back up to Philadelphia. Jerry is up there. We're going to get Jerry's wife, Tammy. I don't know if you know her. Have Jerry, we are.
No, we did not have. Can I just say hello? Hey, Mr. Henry, it's Jerry Doville, and we're on our way up. We're going to get Candace to my wife, and she enjoys your program as well, and I want you to know that it's just a blessing, I think a blessing from God himself and from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that you are on the radio, and I mean that very sincerely.
You're very kind, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, buddy, can I help?
I wanted to mention to you that you went to a Catholic school. I understand that they're papists. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you are a child in a Catholic school and you're doodling a bullfighter and you are fascinated by capes and toreador pants and you want the freedom to explore that, I think you should be allowed to without having your face flayed, having the skin flayed off of one side of your face by a nun with a knotted rope. I don't think that's right. I mentioned that all over here and online to Herb. I'll give it back to Karen now.
Oh, thank you. Phil, you there?
Yeah, I'm listening to Jerry. That was a very interesting, rather liberal point of view.
Well, Phil, we felt really bad. We felt really... Pull over here, Herb, okay? I'm just joking, Phil. I'm making fun of Margaret.
Yes, I heard that, Karen. And you know what? I think it's tasteless.
Oh, Margaret, why don't you grow up? Just go. Margaret, honey, we love you very much.
I don't believe you.
Well, we do. We love you very much. We love Phil Henry. And we're on our way to Philadelphia. And I hear the music, so I have to go, right?
Well, good of you to check in.
Well, I just, and I think we're all agreed, Bill, a little boy who wants to explore his toreador, you know, he wants to explore his attraction to the toreador types. What is wrong with that? We don't see that.
Hi, Bill. It's Herb Dovell.
How you doing, Herb?
Just fine.
We love you, Phil. Thank you very much, dear. And make sure...
All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
That woman is a psychotic, and I find that I'm in danger.
You're not Phil.
Yes, I am. I'm in danger as long as she's alive.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Yes, indeed, indeed, indeed. Welcome back here. World famous Phil Henry Show. Truth is our bitch. I'm Phil Henry. And again, our website is philhenryshow.com. Our Facebook page is Phil Henry Fans, facebook.com/Phil Henry Fans, PHANS. And we interact with all kinds of people over there. And we have a lot of fun talking to folks and, you know, people. Remember bits, so they're, you know, talking about stuff on the show and just other weird things. Like, and I put up pictures. We did a Throwback Thursday, you know.
Yeah, what Throwback Thursday? What is that?
Well, you put up pictures from the throwback times, right?
Yeah. Well, throwback time. What do you mean?
From olden days.
Yeah, you put up pictures from your past, and I put up a picture. I sent one to John Mason, who is with our with Molotov. They do a lot of the social media for us, and. So there's that. And just, you know, go over and say hello. But we just posted a picture there just moments ago. If you want to go to the Facebook page, you'll see a picture. It's a live picture of a shot from an iPhone. So I basically took a photograph with my iPhone of our monitor. I took the photograph right off the iPhone, is what I'm saying, and posted it so you could see what a great picture it is. President Vladimir Putin's spokesman says Russia will do all it can to persuade the Internet Olympic Committee. Oh, international. What is it? Internet?
Let me see that. INTE.
Yeah, right here.
Yeah, see, this is...
Can you give me the... What are you guys doing?
Well, you're not... You're making crap out of it. We thought we'd try and help.
Don't take it away from me.
It's international, Phil.
Yeah, they cut it off right there, see? See there where they cut it off? And then over here, right...
Bud, would you wash your hands, man?
What?
There's grease streaks on this paper.
Oh, my God.
But wash your hand.
That's not me.
Yes, it is, because I just saw you pointing, and then grease came off. Okay?
Well, it's not that big of a deal.
Yes, it is. It is a big deal. Wash your hands.
Now?
Yes, now. Go.
But there's no soap.
Wash your hands, will you? President Vladimir Putin's spokesman says Russia will do all it can to persuade the International Olympic Committee. What?
No, I've got Bud.
What the hell is... What do you want, Bud?
What do you want me to do for soap? There's Lamba soap. There's, well, Dove. But I don't want to use it on account of it being gay. And then...
Just let him figure it out. If he comes back in here with greasy hand, I could use the Dove, but it's gay.
I'll go help.
Yeah, thank you. According to Russian news reports, Dmitry Peskov says Russia will work with the IOC at all possible speeds and argue against the move to drop wrestling. The IOC's executive board voted to cut wrestling from the 2020 Olympics, angering Russia, whose wrestling teams have won 77 gold medals since the Soviet times, so you can understand. Now, the United States is also against the dropping of wrestling, as is, get this, Iran and Cuba. So the U.S. now finds itself... supported by traditional, antagonists. It is the second day in a row that the United States, another proponent of wrestling, has gained support from an unlikely ally. Tuesday was the USA and Iran on the sidelines of a Tehran tournament. U.S. freestyle coach Zeke Jones, speaking to the Associated Press by phone from Tehran, said that officials from 10 of the world's top wrestling countries would meet Wednesday in Iran to discuss how to reverse the IOC's decision. Azerbaijan, Belarus, Bulgaria, Georgia, Iran, Japan, Kazakhstan, the United States, Russia, and Turkey will gather to discuss how to reverse the IOC's decision.
Now, all of those are used to be communists, except for America.
No, that's not true. Turkey was not communist. Japan Iran is, you know.
Well, Iran's the same as communist.
Well, I mean, yeah, okay. I guess you could say Iran is a dictatorship, yeah. But the point is that these are also countries that they're not what I call countries that go out and spend a lot of money on these kinds of things. I mean, they're looking to they're looking to economize as well as dominate in sports. Wrestling cannot be a very expensive sport to support. How many members do you have on a team? Number one, how much does equipment cost? It's nothing. We're talking about a singlet, which is the wrestling tight. You're talking about
what's called
singlet. You know, I think that's what it's called.
No, like a piglet or a singlet?
A piglet?
Well, it's the same thing.
No, it ain't the same thing. One's a uniform, the other's a pig. Is it the same thing as a piglet?
Well, I don't, it ain't, it, in other words, it's not, it ain't.
It ain't adding up?
No.
Well, I'm sorry to say, Robert, that's what it's called, man. Maybe we can look it up in the dictionary or something. I don't know. Now I lost my freaking place. I'm going to kill somebody, I swear to God.
Hold on, no, Phil, I was in the bathroom listening. You were saying that the, hold on, what?
It's Bud.
Oh, will you come on, Bud?
I don't know where the beach towel.
Would you go help him, please?
I gave him the beach towel.
Well, you look upset.
Why wouldn't I be upset? I got a crew that's worthless. This guy doesn't know how to wash his hands. She's wiping her rear end with a beach towel. And you are telling me the goofball stuff of a lifetime here about a singlet and a piglet. I don't know what you're talking about, man. All I will say is that the wrestling controversy is very, very interesting because they have decided, the United States, Russia, all these countries, that they want to keep wrestling, and these are some pretty influential countries. The United States and Russia? Are you kidding? How are you going to say no to those two enormous countries? The United States, our contribution to the Olympics is monetary as well as just our physical participation. But what I was going to say is wrestling is obviously an economical sport. It doesn't cost a lot. There is not a lot in overhead, not a lot in terms of equipment. I don't know why I think it's right up the Russians' alley when it comes to, coaching.
Why do you think that?
I don't know. I don't know why I think that. I think maybe it's because the Russians have done very well with the other martial arts, whether it's boxing or judo. Maybe it's because they come from this kind of salt of the earth, feudal, even worse, just this almost enslaved state where it is said that the Russian person, just the Russian individual, can put up with so much. They have endurance, you know.
Well, like what? Like when they in a war or something?
Yeah. I mean, they talk about World War II, the Russian World War I, and just the Russians have as who was it that made the comment, our cursed capacity for suffering was, I think it was Stalin or Khrushchev who said that. Our cursed capacity for suffering, that the Russians are able to suffer. Lenin, Vladimir Lenin, who said that it was difficult to get Russia out of the First World War in part because we have this cursed capacity to suffer. So we just kept throwing people into the battle, the Russians, you know, stacks and stacks, hundreds of thousands of dead men, and they just keep coming. So they're kind of gritty and close to the bone, and I wouldn't, you know, they're probably just some badasses, man. What can I tell you? So we'll see whether that says here, we'll be standing arm in arm with Iran and we'll be standing with Russia as we will with lots of other countries, said Mitch Hull, the national team's director. Let's get on the line here, Larry Grover, who has often had lots to say about this particular topic and others. Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. Larry, how are you tonight?
Well, I'm doing all right. I appreciate very much the opportunity to sound off on it.
Larry, what do you think? The United States has said that they're standing arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder with Iran and with Russia.
I think it's a dangerous precedent, and I think it goes to what Rush Limbaugh was talking about, and you referenced it, that he is ashamed of his country, that we are a country that is gradually losing our grip and losing our awareness of who and what we are, and what made us a great country, which was our thirst for freedom, our thirst for human rights, that we would not cooperate or compromise with those privileges and with those rights and the things that we think are important. And now we stand there with a Russian on one side, an Iranian on the other, a Turk, a Belarus. This is not the America that I know. This is not an America that would be comfortable sandwiched in, if you want to call it, just be straight up. This is a America that's the meat in a sandwich, in an unholy sandwich of the Belarus and the Russian.
Well, I mean, look, these are countries, by the way, that are no longer communist. They are they're a version of democracy. They're a competitive, a competing democracy, to be sure. But I don't think we have to fear the Russians or the Belarusians, or whoever these Azerbaijanis. We don't have to fear them as a completely alien system.
Well, maybe we don't. But you're missing my point. The United States has become the meat in an unholy sandwich, all right? And so,
what do you mean by the meat in an unholy sandwich?
Well, I was kind of stumbling, waiting for you to ask me that, because it doesn't seem like you understand.
Larry, this is Margaret. The meat in an unholy sandwich sounds as if you're going to get sidetracked. A lot of people are now thinking about America being the meat between two buns.
Well, I'm not going to get sidetracked, Miss Gray. If that's something that that tickles your fancy.
No, I didn't say that. You don't have to be insulting.
All right, but Margaret, you're bringing up something ridiculous now, okay?
No, I'm not bringing up something. He said that America is the meat between two buns. The next thing he's going to say is, and who do you think is buttering those buns?
I did not say anything of the sort. Understand that I'm a father. I'm a husband. Well, I was a husband, and I am a father, and I was a husband. It might be that I was a father. I haven't seen my daughters in 6 months because Marcy, as Phil knows, has taken the kids and moved them away, and she has some idea that that I'm mentally deranged. Well, if I'm mentally deranged, why am I not in a hospital? Can either one of you say anything about that, Mr. Henry?
I don't think you're mentally deranged. I think you're a little extreme.
Yes, I think you're very unusual.
I'm very unusual. Well, that almost sounds as if I think I'd rather be mentally deranged.
Why?
Because being called unusual is as disgusting a thing as, well, in any event, my fear is that the United States standing shoulder to shoulder and arm to arm and locked in tight and right in between the bun of Russia and the other bun that, again, I'm using this analogy of the unholy sandwich because I want you to get this, Mr. Henry. We are the only nutrient in two buns, and if you want, you could say that the mustard or the butter is who would be the butter? Let's see.
Why are we getting sidetracked on this? If you're telling me that the United States should not be allied with Russia and Iran.
That right there, that to me would be you're slathering us with Iran. You understand, you have a way, Mr. Henry, of minimizing what people are trying to say in earnest. This is a very important thing for my country to be allied with Russia and Belarus and to be the meat between their buns and the butter. You know something?
I feel this is Gloria.
Hold on for a minute. Mother, would you get off the extension?
I want to say hello to Mr. Henry. Mr. Henry, hello. It's Gloria. It's Gloria Grover.
Gloria, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Larry, I have a right to speak on my own phone, Larry.
Mother, I'm doing an interview on the Phil Henry Show, and you're not to pick the extension up.
I will pick up the extension. Phil, Larry has been going on and on about America being meat between two buns. And I said to him, he said, if you don't want people to laugh at you, then you have to stop this.
Mother, I am talking about the freedom of my nation, the country that I live inside of the borders of, and nothing that you can do will ever keep me from talking about it.
Larry, you've been going on and on about who buttered up your buns. And
I didn't say my buns. I said we are meat between the bun of Russia and the bun of Belarus.
And when I asked you what kind of meat, what did you say?
I logically said we are wiener-shaped. I didn't... boy, your own mother, Mr. Henry, when your own mother puts her brain into a glass of sewage every night, just like she does her dentures, mother takes her brain out and puts it into sewage and her teeth out and puts those into the effervescent, the teeth effervescent, whatever it's called. That's what mother does.
No, Larry, I don't. I think you do. And you said that the meat was you said it's wiener-shaped.
I meant knockwurst.
Well, then why didn't you say knockwurst? Phil, this is phallic.
All right, we got to take a break, okay?
Take your break, Phil, but I want to explore this with you.
All right, just hold on for a minute. I don't think I want to explore anything with her, okay?
Well, I think she's making a point.
Well, isn't that wonderful? Poor Larry is standing there. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, The Meat's Wiener Shape.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
You may be the laughing stock of the entire radio listening of the...
Phil Hendry here on with Larry Grover, and we'll take a phone call, 877-876-PHIL. But we also have Gloria Grover, Larry's mother, is on the line. And the only thing I'd ask, Gloria, again, and you have every right, you made a very good point, you have every right to be on the phone in your own home, is to give us a chance to talk, okay?
Absolutely. I'm very
happy to do that, Phil. All right. Okay, let's go to Steve in Biloxi. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, Steve.
Hey, Phil, I wanted to say to Mr. Grover, I agree with you. I have followed your newsletter. I get your conservative Kern County newsletter.
Oh, very good.
And I agree very much with your statement, and I think Mr. Henry is trying to understand. Perhaps it's a very difficult thing to understand. Also, Mr. Henry may be having some fun at your expense. And I don't think this is the time to do that, sir.
Well, I'm not trying to. I just thought that the analogy of America being in a sandwich...
Well, Phil, it is an absolute perfect analogy.
Well, hold on. Let the caller make his point.
Well, and my point, and I agree with Mr. Grover, it is a perfect analogy. America has constantly been hemmed in. I think we've been surrounded for a great many years by countries, entities, hostile or otherwise, that have hemmed us in and locked us out. And I think to say that we are the meat in a sandwich, I think is a very good analogy. Now, if you or your listeners choose to make that juvenile, because Mr. Grover said it is a wiener-shaped meat, I think what he is saying essentially is we have become a country that is almost for the amusement of people. And the only kind of meat that I know of that you are going to eat, if you go to a fair, you go to a ball game, it's going to be wiener or a hot dog or the only other, I don't want to be crude, but it would be, in intimate relations with your wife, but she'd be the one that's doing most of the...
All right, thank you very much.
Well, what a jip.
What'd you do? Did you hang up on him?
Yes, I hung up on him. He's a moron.
Oh, baby, every time I get someone on my side, what do? You turn me around, tie me to a post, pull my shirt off, spit on your hands, pick up your bullwhip, make sure someone gets a picture of you in your big, high, knee-high boots, and then you go to work on me. You go to work on me like they worked on Denzel Washington in Glory. You work on me like they went to work on Liam Neeson in The Bounty. You go to work...
Well, Phil, I don't think that's fair for you to hang up on him.
Do you not think it's fair? I think it's fair. What do you think?
Yeah, it's fair.
Yeah, I think it's fair.
All right, it was fair.
Good. They go to work on me like they went to work on Denzel Washington in Glory and Liam Neeson in The Bounty.
I don't think anybody...
Yeah, that's a cultural reference that no one's going to get. No one. Do you understand? You know, David Hall and I had this discussion, Phil.
What are you getting upset about?
I'm getting upset with these cultural references that no one gets. Liam Neeson in The Bounty, no one saw the movie.
Margaret.
No, Phil, no one saw that, as good a movie as it may have been. Now we go to Denzel Washington in Glory. Not a bad reference for one that's almost 25 years old. Okay, great. Now?
Never mind, you and your belching.
Where's that bath towel?
Over here.
Thank you.
Okay, so that was weird, though. I mean, that guy with the whole America is the meat in the sandwich between the buns of Russia and Belarus, and we're being slathered with the condiment of Iran, and it's wiener-shaped. North Dakota suspends Paul Ralston. North Dakota suspended men's basketball play-by-play radio announcer Paul Ralston for two games after he used the phrase choke job following an overtime loss to Northern Arizona. The Grand Forks Herald reports that Ralston used the words during his interview with Coach Brian Jones after the team's 74-72 home loss Saturday. North Dakota led in the final minutes of regulation, but Northern Arizona rallied. So he said it was a choke job, huh? He's going to return to his play-by-play role on February 28th against Portland State. If any team suspended me for stuff like that, I think I would start... Well, no, I wouldn't. All right,
Yeah, no, you wouldn't is right. You're going to be a good boy.
All right, fine. World-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. For all of your Phil Hendry Show needs, don't forget philhendryshow.com. That is our website, and that's where you get all of the marvelous kind of stuff that we've got to offer you, including our live streaming video, which was just a beautiful picture tonight, man. I freaked out because I didn't think I was doing it right until tonight at 10, 1 o'clock tomorrow morning on the East Coast. Let that be a lesson to you. Bye.
Bye.
Phil Hendry.